Go to John 1:1. John 1, verse 1. It says in Matthew, we speak that we do know and testify to that which we have seen. Greatly limits my ability to speak on much. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now we know obviously this Word is Jesus Christ. He's the Word of God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. This is saying plainly that the creation that you see was created by Jesus Christ. He is Jesus, the Son of God. Right? The same was in the beginning with God, so He was with God. And yet He is also the Creator God. This is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. Or 1 John 5:7, there are three, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, but these three are one. Going on down to 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, speaking of Jesus, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So the Creator God entered into his creation as a man, but the world didn't recognize him for being God. All they saw was a carpenter, right? Or maybe a rebel. 11, he came unto his own, which were the Jews, and his own received him not. But look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Right? Not in his name. We've really been over this a lot. That believed on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that's something I've been contemplating, is the power to become the son of God, a son of God, the power to do in this life. You know, we talked a lot about, you know, the need to step up, the need for, you know, the works of the Spirit to follow us. And as Davey really hammered home, I've been listening to the conference in my truck. And, you know, we have to preach Christ's gospel. It has to be a very accurate representation. It has to be the gospel of Jesus Christ, not tainted, which means not according to our, I don't want to say understanding, but it's not an intellectual understanding. It has to be an accurate representation spiritually of what Jesus said and did. If we preach Christ's gospel, then the works will follow. Right? Is that right? So, and you notice I asked you this time.
He stands on his word. He backs up his word.
Okay, Jesus Christ stands on his word and he backs up his word. He'll back up that word with power. But how about for us, like in our normal day-to-day? I mean, I suppose all of us have what we call them besetting sins, you know, like the same stuff. It's like Rick was talking about, I just listened to, which I think was the last night of the conference. Rick was saying, well, how many of you guys you're here this year and you're still on the same merry-go-round you were on last year? The same old stuff, over and over and over. You know, why is that? And what we need is the power to overcome. But the power clearly doesn't rest in us. If it was a matter of will, I think our will would have... I mean, we want to walk as the sons of the Lord, or the daughters of the Lord. So our will is to do right, mostly. But where's the power hookup? And this is telling you what the power hookup is. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But look at that word, to become the sons of God. When you come to Jesus Christ, he saves your soul. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's a finished work. You don't get more saved. You're either saved or you're not. You either belong to him or you don't. Yeah? And yet your life isn't quite right usually. And And that power to become, that's this ongoing work of grace in your soul, in your life. If you go back into James, you know, it talks about faith without works is dead. And we see that. You see somebody who proclaims the name of Christ. Maybe you've been the guy that proclaimed Christ, but your life didn't back it up at all. But he says, you see then how that, speaking of Abraham, you see then how that by works was faith made perfect. So we do the works of the Lord. We line our lives up as much as we can understand and as much as we're taught. And in that doing, we put ourselves in the right situations, sometimes bad situations to us. And in those situations, the Lord is able to bring the right pressure to bear to bring us about to be as He is. We have the power to become the sons of God. Look, it says right here, if you believe on Him, if you've received Him, you already have that power. You have the power within you already. Right? You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. This is not, I mean, it's not something most people would argue with, but it's not something I'm very good at. And I'm still trying to work this out myself. You know, how do you, where is that power hookup? So having asked a question I don't exactly have an answer to, I guess, Paul?
Bill?
Well, we've been going over a lot of stuff, and last night was hitting on some of those points that Rick made on the last night of that convention, Brad, and it was really, really nice. Did we record any of that, Paul? That's a bummer, but because I would have suggested you to listen to it. And we went all over a lot of good things. And you were talking about, and this is what strikes me, and this is funny that, you know, it's like I'm saying it over and over and over and over again, but it's good for you. Well, we might not have it yet. That might be why the Lord's keep bringing it back to our attention over, 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 and over again. Because we need to be reminded of that daily almost at this point. And that point was where it seems like, have you... You keep struggling with the same thing over and over again. You still struggle with that. You haven't broke through that. The reason being is because you're standing in pride in that. You have not humbled yourself to the Lord in His correction, in His counsel, in that area. You remain as Saul, justified in your mind. That's why you're not broken through it. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And it's that chastisement that we receive, we talk about in Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. I didn't think we were going to go here this morning. In Hebrews, I believe it's in Hebrews 12, actually. If I can find it myself, would be nice. And well, that's not going to help me one bit. Page 273 doesn't help me on my Bible here. Looking, come on. All right, so.
Somewhere in there.
Yes, okay. Well, we can even start from the top here.
Fine.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. These witnesses here, go back and read 11. Abraham believed God and was counted for righteousness. He believed God to the point that he was going to offer Isaac up right there. He did exactly what the Lord told him to do. And he knew that the promise was in Isaac. It wasn't parting the Red Sea. You know, it wasn't any of those. You take Noah building the ark, believing God. Believe God, trusted God. You know, these are the witnesses that he's talking about here. The great cloud of witnesses. I'm gonna move on.
Testimony of witnesses in 11.
Yeah. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. That's what Christ did. He is the perfect example. He knew what the agape love was. He set his face to do the will of the Father no matter what. And we are to have that same mind. To have that same mind is to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord in all things, and cleave to his counsel and to his word. And to the people that he set over you, and obey them. And not just obey them, because we talked about this a little bit last night. Not just obeying. You could obey something and be rebellious in your heart. True. But it is, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to serve you. This goes against everything of my own intellect. And that's another thing. Take your intellect, cast it down. This flesh is enemy with God. Let's listen to the Spirit. Right. We have a soul. The Lord set us free to choose what we want to listen to. And we set that thing down aside. And we choose Christ. When we choose his counsel. Even when it sounds so ridiculous to you. That doesn't make any sense. That goes against everything in my body. But praise God, it lines up with you. It lines up with your scripture. And I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to walk in it. And in you is light. And there is no darkness at all. And you have what's best for me. Yeah. You have your my best interest in your heart, Lord. You're good. And he proved that up there on the cross. There's no doubt. He doesn't have to prove his love to us. He already did. He made a way. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now, Here's the part where the Lord starts working on you. You want to be the sons of God like Brad's talking about? Like the angels in heaven that he created? You want to be like that? Because that's what he's talking about there. He gave them power. Submit yourself unto God in all things. And the Lord's going to start showing you these things. The Lord's going to start pulling out those things that you have before him. He's going to start pulling out those places where you are in league with your flesh and not with him. He's going to start doing this work in us. Praise the Lord. But you still have a choice where you want to lay on the side of that sword, that double-edged sword. Are you going to league up with your flesh, walk away justified, or are you going to league up with the Spirit and be justified in what Christ did for you? It's one or the other. But the Lord will, for everybody in this room, everybody online, this is going to start happening. The message is urgent. It is now, and it's going to start happening. Start choosing Christ now. Now's the time. You're not promised tomorrow, folks. You're not. But it's that light. And I want to go, and I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to go to John 3, start at 3:16. And this seems to happen to us a lot. If I can find it, not have any dead air.
Page 114.
It's not helpful, Brad. Not helpful. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Should not perish. He made the way. He made the way. Let's continue on. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Look, the Lord set a way.
He came down off the throne and died for you, so that you have a way to fellowship with the Father by what He did, covering your sin. But it's up to you to walk it. It's up to you to receive that. The world's already condemned. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save it. There's only one way, and that's Jesus. And His way is the only way. And we got into further on that a little bit in John, in 1 John. By fellowshipping with the authorities and taking the counsel of people of who's the Lord put in front of you. And a lot of times we try to fellowship around that, the apostles. Well, I don't like what he says, so Lord, I'm going to go this other way. It's not going to work that way. It's just like trying to go around Jesus to get to the Father. It's not going to happen.
Right.
There's one way. And His way is the only way. And He came down off that throne, and we read in Hebrews what He did. He set His face to do the will of the Father to death, striving against sin till He sweated blood. Not one of us are there. Not even kissing it, not even touching it. But that's what He did for you. And He set that way for you.
That's right.
That's why it says should. And this is the condemnation. Now, here is the condemnation, folks. And this is where we can choose what we want to walk in. If we're going to choose His way, if we're going to choose to believe on Him or not. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. The condemnation is that our deeds are evil, and that light is shown down on our hearts. He was up there on the cross saying, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And we have all been there saying, "Crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him," because our deeds are evil. His words not. And He's given you a line of authority. He's given you everything you need. He's given you a word. And there's no way around it. It's what we're going to choose, what we're going to do with it. Are we going to believe it and do it? And stand in that chastisement, standing in that scourging, and saying, "Thank you, Lord, for that correction. This has been keeping me from you. I don't want it anymore. I cast it out. Praise you. Thank you. Thank you for whipping my tail in straight.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You love me that much."
Amen.
Are you going to cleave to that dark spot? And you don't like the truth, and you're justified. That is not the place to be. And you will not move forward with that attitude, and with that thinking, and with that mind, because that is not the mind of Christ. That is the flesh. Don't stay in league with it. Amen. The Lord loves us, and we haven't even scratched the surface of His love. We have no idea what that means yet. But let's move forward toward that mark. Amen. As a body down here. Amen. We need it.
Amen.
We don't need to be like the church of Corinthians anymore. We need to be like the church of the Philippians or the Thessalonians. That's the direction that we need to have our focus set on. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And with that, I'm going to leave it with you, Paul. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, buddy. Now just think of Paul and the perception he had about having this dead man strapped to his back. And when he tells maybe the Colossians, maybe Ephesians, maybe both, I'm not really sure at this point. He says, "Put off the old man." That's he's telling you to dump that thing that's strapped on your back. It's festering. It's killing you. Cut it loose. And, in His great mercy, this is a threat to those who are in rebellion, it's not meant to be a threat. It's meant to be an offer of grace. But out of Jude, verse 22, some have compassion, making a difference, and of others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Some of us are not going to get there unless we come kicking and screaming. Certainly our flesh is going to be kicking and screaming all the way. But some of it's not going to be pretty.
That's right.
That's okay. All right, man. Just get this dead thing off my back. Tired of being ruled by it. It's dead.
Amen.
My buddy there, when he went to Hebrews, I thought he's just going to steal what I had told him I had. Because it is not unlike him to have done such a thing. Absolutely. No. We're going to wind the clock back to 3.
Hebrews 3?
Yeah. And there's nothing in here in 3 that we haven't talked about at length. And nothing here should be new to anybody. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. The builder of the house has more honor than the house. The house is just a thing, and it was constructed by the builder.
The builder never swung a hammer.
That's right. So, for every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end. That's a if-then statement. We want that confidence then. And hold fast to the end. Right? Hold fast if we want security, I should have said, we should hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. That there's security in Jesus. There's no security that I'm going to walk out here and not do something just absolutely D-U-M-B stupid. That I cannot explain, and there's no explanation for. But Jesus Christ, you can count on him in the confidence that will deliver your soul to the Father. If you hold fast to that confidence and to the end. Verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Now, we've spoken about this before, and the number of times this is spoken about in Scripture, it's sprinkled all throughout the Bible. But this this is the one that I remember the most. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. This is not a suggestion. Things did not work out well for them. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. That's what this whole thing here is about. The becoming sons of God. This whole thing is about us ceasing from our own works and availing ourselves of the Lord of Sabbath.
Amen.
The Lord who created the Sabbath day's rest has it hanging out here waiting for us to walk into it. Cease from our own works. To rest and have a joy that is made full by doing things that He wants done. Not things to justify us or build us up, or even the stuff we do that we just do because we love our family members or whatnot. No, that's... it's a little better than the self-serving stuff, but most of that stuff we do because we want them to tell us how much they love us. The motivation is really not all that pure. They don't have the Sabbath day's rest they created just for you. They can't save you. Take heed, verse 12, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, an evil heart of unbelief. In departing from the living God. Has everybody got that? An evil heart of unbelief. Didn't think you could have an evil heart, huh? An evil heart is a heart that's got unbelief in it. That jumped out at me like, dummy, 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 na 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 na, dummy, dummy, dummy. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. This is the second time we've had that thought in this one chapter. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. And we're talking about the provocation here again. This is the second time in this chapter. For some, and this is about us not participating in that provocation and coming to that same end. It didn't work out well. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And whom swear he that they should not enter his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter because of
unbelief.
And then we have the familiar passage in chapter 4. Fear. You have to have a proper relationship between you and the Creator, God, who can send your soul to hell righteously. Righteously. You deserve hell. You need to fear. You have the proper fear. And y'all can get into, I'm not going to get into four here. Y'all can get into four with this proper setup and figure out what, I'll do, give you the highlights. Fear lest appearing to have missed the promise. You don't want to make it even appear. Not that it's true, but that it looks like it may be getting around to coming close to becoming near missing the promise. Let us labor, therefore, to enter that rest. Let's labor to rest. That sound like a contradiction? If you're going to labor, if you're going to commit your work to something, labor against unbelief and enter His rest.
Amen.
Then hold fast your profession. How long? To the end.
Amen.
To the end. And then the last verse in 4. Last verse, 16 in chapter 4. Let us therefore come boldly. Once you've done those three things, come boldly to before His throne. That you can obtain mercy. That's what He intended for you anyway. Come boldly to His throne and take the mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. That's our God.
Before you wrap up, can I?
Sure.
I need to, there's a couple things I missed. I was pointing out. There's a couple things I was pointing out to me, and one is I missed when I was going through. Yes. What's? There's a couple things I missed. One is, when I was going through 16, I missed 17. And that was, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. There's that hope. He set the way. We choose it. You know I hit on that point, but I did not read that. I missed that. The other point where it said, because it talks about the sons to become the power. But let me just read it, because I'm going to mess it up that quickly. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. Or, you know, the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And He's talking about here specifically of the angels that fell, taking place of the angels that fell with Lucifer. Man, what a positioning opening. What a positioning opening for that, as you talked about. And I never seen that before, so Paul brought it up to me, and I didn't clarify that, but I wanted to get up here and clarify that. He set the way. Guys, we have everything we need to become His friend.
You wind up. The point is, today is the day. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Today is the day. And that's what we're reading out of Hebrews 3. The time, what did we read in Romans last night? The time for being asleep is over with. It's daytime now.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sound like I just got out, but no, I'm still my voice is getting out. Well, I guess we're wrapping it up. Afterwards, we have Vermont's at 11. This will be service right after this. Then we have, was it Davey's show and Scott's show?
Scott's show, then Davey's show.
So, you guys online, stick around, and there's going to be more on the EagleRadio.net. Yeah.